Boker Tov, everybody. Erev Shabbat Shalom. Erev Shabbat, Parashat, Emor, El Kohanim. So I just wanted to share with you, as you saw, the weekly sugya for this week's SBM Friday Kollel. First of all, give credit where credit is due. Thank you to SBM. One second, Abukai. Okay. Apologize for that. So now that we are only a few days away from Lag Ba'Omer, Lag Ba'Omer Bezet Hashem is going to be this coming Monday night and Tuesday, and Lag Ba'Omer is a very festive time in the calendar of Am Yisrael. One second, sorry, a lot of stuff going on today. Thank you, Mikey. So, discussing a little bit of Lag Ba'Omer, I want to discuss today some traditions and or myths that people may have with regards to Lag Ba'Omer, and just to clarify what exactly happened on that day and why we treat that day as a day of simcha, why we treat that day as a day of rejoicing. If you look in the, let me just open it up, here. The Ari HaKadosh is quoted in the Sha'ar HaKavanot, Daf Pezayin, as speaking about the Hilula of Lag Ba'Omer. Now, Hilula, you have to understand what exactly Hilula means. What does Hilula mean? So, in general, when you look through Shas, Hilula is a reference to some sort of a celebration, some sort of a party. Many times, the Gemara uses the word Hilula in the context of a wedding. You know that. So that is a many, many times in Brachot and Shabbat, Hilula is used as a reference to a wedding celebration. So what exactly, when the Ari HaKadosh discusses the Hilula of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zechutei Yagen Alenu on Lag Ba'Omer, we have to try to understand what that means. The Shoel Meshiv, Hagaon Rabbi Yosef Shaul Halevi Natanzon, who was one of the foremost poskim in Poland, about 150 years ago, he was in the Polish city of Lvov. You ever heard of that city? Anyway, Bekitzur, that he was the Av Bedin in Lvov, and he wrote in his Shoel Meshiv, he questioned this minhag of the joyous festivities on Lag Ba'Omer, and he says it's a little bit weird because, you know, people claim that Lag Ba'Omer is the yahrzeit, is the day of the passing of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Where else do you see that we celebrate the passing of tzaddikim? On the contrary, you look in Shulchan Aruch, you look in the poskim, you look in the mekubalim. In general, what do we do to commemorate the day of the passing of a tzaddik? You don't celebrate. What do?
Do askara.
Well, either askara or, let's say, by Moshe Rabbeinu, alav shalom. Right, Zayin Be'Adar, what do? You fast, right? The days of the Ptirav, the Tzadikim, for Ezra Sofer, his yahrzeit, he passed away on Asara B'Tevet. Asara B'Tevet is what? It's a fasting. So where do you find that the day of the passing of a Tzadik should be one of Simcha? And that's why he actually has a question on that. He says, I don't understand this minhag at all. And he also questions the Hadlakah, the lighting of bonfires in Meron. He says, where does that come from? Agaon Chatam Sofer, in his Shelot Utshuvot, Chatam Sofer Siman HaShtadi Gimal, also questions the minhag of lighting bonfires on Lag Ba'Omer. He says, where exactly did that come from? So there are poskim, the Maim Chaim Rappaport and others, do come to defend the minhag of lighting bonfires in Meron and other places in honor of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai for several reasons. Light of the Torah, light of the fire. Okay, there's many such reasons, but lechaora, the question is a very good one. The question of the Shoel Meshiv is actually echoed by several poskim. Why in the world are we celebrating Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's death on Lag Ba'Omer? If it's the day that he really passed away, then instead of celebrating, we should be mourning, we should be maybe fasting, we should be you know, it should be a much more solemn day than a joyous day. You understand?
Kodar, why are we fasting when a person passes away? Somebody like Moshe Rabbeinu was such a big tzaddik, and on a yearly basis, and the Yor Tzaddik, the Neshama goes higher up. What are we fasting for? Why should we be mourning? Maybe the question should be the opposite. Maybe we should be happy anytime that it's a Yor Tzaddik of somebody, especially if it's a tzaddik, because the Neshama goes up.
So you're asking the other way around, which is a good question. I'm going to answer you twofold. Answer number one is that we already find, this is already set in the poskim. The Shulchan Aruch brings down that Anshei Maaseh fast on certain days of Ptirat Tzaddikim, like Moshe Rabbeinu, Alav Shalom. I'll give you another example. You know, that the Bet Yosef brings down a minhag. It's not a chova. Many people have the minhag that on the day of a yartzeit, on the day of the passing of a person's father, mother, Rebbe, it is a minhag, not a chova, but it's a minhag to fast on the day of the passing of a person's parent or Rebbe. You ever wonder, why do you have to fast on the day of the passing of a parent or a Rebbe? Why don't you celebrate? If you're saying Kaddish, you're making Azkara, you're doing things Le'inu Nishmatam, why do you have to fast? These things are already set in stone. These things are already established. So there's obviously got to be a good reason for it. The reason is because we're not fasting for their Zechut. Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't need our fasting. You know what I'm saying? He doesn't need us to fast for him. We're fasting because the day that he passed away was a day of Pur'anut. For all of Am Yisrael, we lost a tzaddik, Moshe Rabbeinu, Aizra Sofer, a person's parents, a Rebbe. We lost in our lives guides that we no longer have, so that makes us sad. So really, that's the right way to go, and that's what we find in general. So the question is really the other way. That's why the poskim are focusing on Rashbi as opposed to Moshe Rabbeinu, for instance. Do you understand? That's the issue over there. Doctor, you have what I'm saying?
Yes, Rabbi, thank you.
Okay. The Kitzur, so there are poskim who leave it at that and they don't really answer, but there are several poskim who come to the defense of the Minhag and they explain why Lag Ba'omer was set as a day of national celebration. The Shelot U'Tshuvot Shem Aryeh in Siman Yudalit says the following. Everybody knows there's the famous Gemara in Masechet Shabbat, Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Bet. Everybody knows the famous story that the three friends, the three peers, the Tanaim, Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai, Rabbi Yose, and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai were sitting around in Bet Midrash speaking about whether or not the Romans, the Goim, were worthy of Hakarat HaTov, or worthy of praise. Remember? Because they did a lot of things, right? They did a lot of good things. They built bridges. They did a lot of architectural work. So Rabbi Yehuda says that they deserve praise and Hakarat HaTov for that. Rabbi Yose remained silent. And anybody remember what Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai responded?
It's all for their own benefit.
That's right. He says anything that the Romans did, everything is for their own benefit, not for the benefit of Am Yisrael. And for that reason, he says, There's an individual over there by the name of Rabbi Yehuda ben Gerim who had retold the conversation that went on over there. The Tosfot explained that he didn't tell the Romans by himself. He was an Ish Chashuv. But eventually, as a result of him speaking about it, it got to the ears of the Roman emperor. And he made the following determination. He said, Yehuda sheshibeach, right? Yehuda she'ila yit'ale, which means Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eilai, who praised the Romans, he should be raised. And that's why he got the title of Rosh HaMdabrim Bechol Makom. He is the head of the speakers in any place. He got that kavod. Yose Sheshatak Yigle, which Yigle Le Tzipori. Rabbi Yose, who stayed silent, he should go to exile to the city of Tzipori in northern Israel. And then they said Shimon Shegina Yehareg Bachayrev, which means they said that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, who spoke ill of the Romans, he should be killed. And that set off, everybody knows the famous story. What did that bring about?
Okay.
Yeah, so originally, Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Elazar, they were hiding out in the Bet Midrash. But that was short-lived. Right, Rabotai, we just saw this Gemara right before Pesach in Masechet Shabbat in the Daf HaYomi. But that was short-lived. They decided to run away from the Bet Midrash as well because, anybody remember why?
Because instead of my wife, his wife knew, and they're going to find out. She's going to tell on them.
And they're going to torture her.
They're easy-minded.
Right. Anyway, Bekitzur, so they ran away to the cave, and they stayed in the cave. The Gemara says all of the nisim that happened to them in the cave for 12 years. And according to tradition, that is where the Zohar HaKadosh was taught, drafted, different opinions. Eventually, the Gemara says what happened after the 12th year, they came out of the cave. Eliyahu Navi said that the Roman emperor had already died and it's safe for them to come out. They came out and they saw that Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Elazar, his son, saw that people were working the land, plowing, harvesting, you know, all sorts of agricultural work.
And they were the two besamim he took?
No, that's the second time. Shwaya, shwaya. So they came out after the 12th year. And they saw people plowing, and they got very upset. And they said, "Manichin chaya olam ve'oskin b'chaye sha'a. How can people be disregarding the eternal work of Talmud Torah and Avodat Hashem instead be working on such a fleeting world? And wherever they looked, they made a fire. They burnt. Wherever they put their eyes, they were so kadosh." They started lighting things on fire with their eyes. Yatzta bat kol v'amra. A bat kol came out, the Gemara says, and a heavenly voice rang out and said, "Lachriv olami yitzatim. Did you come out? Did I let you out of the cave to come destroy my world? Chizru lim'aratchim." HaKadosh Baruch Hu said what? Go back into the cave. They stayed in there for another 12 months, after which they realized it was time to go out, and they came out again. And yet, what happened was, this time, like Yonatan said, they came out on an Eid of Shabbat. Yeah, and what did they see? They saw a person walking by with two hadasim. They asked him, "What do you need hadasim for?" He said, "Lichvot Shabbat." So what do you need two? He said, "One for Zachor and one for Shamor." And that gave Rabbi Shimon a lot of Nachat Ruach. And the Gemara says that Rabbi Elazar was still burning stuff with his eyes. You know that. He was still upset that people were working. He was still fire, that's right. But any place, the Gemara says, any place that Rabbi Elazar burnt, what happened?
Rabbi Shimon was able to heal.
Rabbi Shimon healed. That was the end of that story. Which means, says the Shem Aryeh, bringing this Gemara, he says, what are we celebrating on Lag BaOmer? Yes, in general, when tzaddikim pass away, we mourn, we fast, we make askarot, it's a solemn day. Rabbi Shimon, according to the laws of nature by the Roman government, he was supposed to be murdered, right? He was supposed to be executed. But at the end, was Rabbi Shimon executed? He was not. How did Rabbi Shimon pass away on Lag BaOmer? He passed away kederech kol haaretz. He passed away of natural means. And therefore, in celebration of the fact that Rabbi Shimon passed away of natural means and not murdered and not executed the way he was supposed to, that's why we make a celebration. Understood? Rabbi, so says the Shem Aryeh.
But it has nothing to do with the passing of the Talmidei Shel Rav Akiva?
That's another opinion which we're going to bring soon. According to this opinion of the Shem Aryeh that I'm telling you, no, it's not. Now, Rabotai.
Rabbi, how old was Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai? Do you have any idea?
No clue. I have never seen any reference to that.
But it sounds from natural causes. So at old age, that's what it says? I mean, that's understanding.
No, it doesn't say natural cause. It says kederech kol haaretz, which means he died natural, meaning he died normally. Right. He was not executed. That's the point. Mechila Rabotai. One second. That there are other opinions. The Pri Chadash. Anybody know the Pri Chadash? One of the Gdolei Poskei Sfaradim. One of the most famous Poskei Sfarad from approximately 300 years ago. His name was Agaon Rabbi Chizkiya de Silwa. He was the Av Bedin in Yerushalayim in HaKodesh. And he writes in Siman Tav Tzadi Gimam, when speaking about Lag BaOmer, he explains, everybody knows the minhag in all of Am Yisrael is to celebrate Lag BaOmer. Regardless of how you celebrate it, with, you know, a bonfire, you know, Rabotai, what's the minimum amount of celebration that we have on Lag BaOmer for everybody?
Yehi Shem.
Oh, Yehi Shem. And depending on who you ask, Yehi Shem is a really big, you know, that's a big thing, especially by Sfaradim. Yehi Shem is golden. You know, we spoke about it this morning. If you transgress a Yehi Shem, even inadvertently, Have you ever been a chazan in a Sephardi shul, transgressing a yishem, trying to just utter the word ana on a yishem day, Michael?
Sekira. They're gonna stop you.
Sekira. Yeah, that's you're taking your life into your own hands at that point. So that's like suicidal. It's very dangerous.
Aval, nobody wants to do a tachanun.
Yeah, but whatever it is, you know, all of Am Yisrael, nobody says tachanun on Lag BaOmer. So it is sort of a day of celebration. And on that halacha, the Pri Chadash writes that the reason for it, he says like this, Hasimcha biyom Lag BaOmer al otam chamisha talmidim sheha'imid Rabbi Akiva shenisharu chayim mekayamim lifleta gedola vefitzu or ha'torah lechol Yisrael. Says like this, he says, the simcha that we have on Lag BaOmer, he doesn't attribute it to Rabbi Shimon. And he doesn't attribute it to Rabbi Shimon's yard site. He attributes it to what? To the five new Talmidim that Rabbi Akiva adopted, okay? And from those five Talmidim, the light of Torah spread to the entire world. That's the reason for Simcha, says the Pri Chadash, on Lag BaOmer. Obviously, what does that have to do with Rabbi Shimon? We all know that one of those five Talmidim was?
Rabbi Shimon.
Rabbi Shimon, right? The Gemara says that the five Talmidim were Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yose, Rabbi Elazar, and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. So that is the celebration according to the Pri Chadash. But not everybody agrees to that either. There's more opinions in the poskim. What's the cause for celebration? Maran Achida in Sefer Marita Ayin, one of Maran Achida's Sfarim, I want you to listen very carefully right now because this is going to rock the world. Everybody says Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's Yartzeit is on Lag BaOmer, correct? Why? Because it talks about the Hilula, yeah? Says Maran Achida, remember what we said, Rabotai, last night about Rabbi Meir Ba'al Anis's Yartzeit being on Pesach Shani today? What do we say about that?
It was in Chanukah, you said.
No, he
wasn't. Say that either.
We said it's fake news. We said we don't know when it is, but it's definitely not today.
That's right. Well, we said yesterday in the Shi'ur last night that we gave on Pesach Shani, we proved from the Ben Ishchai and other poskim that the fact that people say that Rabbi Meir Ba'al Anis's Yartzeit is today, Pesach Shani, is fake news. It's not true. We don't know when Rabbi Meir Ba'al Anis's Yartzeit is, and it's certainly not on Pesach Shani. And the raya to that was from the Ben Ishchai. Anybody remember or want to enlighten everybody what the Ben Ishchai said? We spoke about it yesterday.
Rabbi, Rosh Chodesh Tevet, are we sure that this is Yartzeit?
No, we're not. No, we're not.
So why are we doing it, and why are we doing it twice?
Who says we're doing it twice?
I mean, today we were lighting candles and Rosh Chodesh Tevet. Also, the Ben Ishchai says that Nohagin lehadlik ner leilud nishmat. Rabbi Malas didn't say that he passed away, but it says that Nohagin lehadlik.
So we gave a whole shiur on this last night. Joe, you have anything to say to that?
Yeah, he missed a shiur last night, doctor.
Anyway.
Fake news. Why do we have to get crazy about this?
Bekitzur, thank you, Yonatan. Always, Yonatan is our voice of reason in a sea of uncertainty. But, right, Michael? So, Mikol Makom, at the end of the day, nobody knows when his Yartzeit is. And it's certainly not on Pesach Shani. And the fact that the Ben Ishchai says to light candles for Rabbi Meir on Rosh Chodesh Tevet, which is on Hanukkah, is because we spoke about different reasons. Rabbi Meir had a nis, and Hanukkah had a nis, so it's appropriate, but we really don't know. Listen to what Maran Achida writes about the Yartzeit of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Maran Achida writes in his Sefer Marita Ayin, Likutim Sof Siman Zayin. He writes as follows, listen very carefully. Omnam b'sefer Pri Etz Chaim katav de Ptirat Rashbi haita b'lag ba'omer. Although in Sefer Pri Etz Chaim, which was written by, who wrote Sefer Pri Etz Chaim? Rabbeinu Chaim Vital, the chief disciple of the Ari HaKadosh. And over there he writes that Lag BaOmer is the Yartzeit of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Says Maran Achida, Ach kvar noda ashenafal irbu v'ta'ut sofer b'nischaot kitve ha'ari. It's already well known that there are many mistakes and misprints and typographical errors in the writings of the Ari HaKadosh. Many different versions, many of them with mistakes in them. And he says, listen to this, it's wild. The number one, the right version, the only number one reliable version of the Kitve Ha'ari, of the Ari's manuscripts, is that the one that was signed off on by Rabbeinu Shmuel Vital, son of Rabbeinu Chaim Vital. And over there, what does he write? She'erich besod yemei ha'omer b'shar ha'kavanot, ve'lo ba befiv lomar sheyom lag ba'omer u'ptirat Rashbi. He says, Rabbeinu Shmuel Vital, in his Sfarim, writes lengthily about the Hashivut of the days of the Omer, and he makes no reference whatsoever to the fact that Lag Ba'omer is Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's yahrzeit. Rabotai, according to Maran Achidah, do you know what he's saying? Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was the father of modern, or not modern, but the father of all Sod. The Sodot Torah were revealed by Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. If the Mekubalim, including the Ari HaKadosh, Rabbeinu Chaim Vital, and Rabbi Shmuel Vital, who was the most authentic version of Kitvei Ari, makes no mention to the fact that the father of Kabbalah's yahrzeit is on Lag Ba'omer, what does that indicate to you, says Maran Achidah?
Hashtag fake news.
See that?
So, Shmuel Vital, what does he hold on Lag Ba'omer? What is it?
Okay, hold up. The one thing, he doesn't say why we celebrate, but there's one thing, he's silent on one issue, and from his, you know, many times silence speak volumes, you know that. And from his silence about the fact that Lag Ba'omer is Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's yahrzeit, he says, you know, in the past day and night, in the past 12 hours, we've debunked a few of Klal Yisrael's biggest myths. You know that. I'm sorry, I can't, you know, you gotta be Yashar. Now again, by Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, it's at least a machloket. There is no reliable source whatsoever in any Sfarim that refers to Rabbi Meir Ba'al Hanes's yahrzeit as being on Pesach Sheni. Doesn't exist. At least by Rabbi Shimon, it's a machloket whether or not his yahrzeit is there. Some poskim say yes, some poskim say not. So this is what I was saying last night. The fact that people sent you WhatsApps or other social media, make sure to light a candle today for the yahrzeit of Rabbi Meir Ba'al Hanes. Matt had already auto-responded to all of these texts. What was the auto-response to that, to those texts, Matt?
CNN.
That's right. And
fake, you know, news.
Yeah, fake, right. Fake news. The Kitzur had, what was the, how do you say fake news again in Persian?
Chetopert.
Oh, Chetopert. Okay, the Kitzur. Anyway. Bekitzur, so you have to realize that, so again, according to Maran Achidah, who just proved from Rabbeinu Shmuel Vital that Lag Ba'omer is not Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's yahrzeit, so now Yonah's question comes back. What question comes back? Well, if it's not his yahrzeit, then what?
It's his birthday, probably.
No, probably the dying of the, what's
it? No, why are we celebrating? So listen to what he says. In his another sefer of his, we spoke about a sefer Marit Ayin. Then he has another sefer, Maran Achidah, Tov Ayin. You know what's interesting about Maran Achidah, who authored approximately 70 sefarim? Almost every sefer of Maran Achidah is named after a
different name.
Well, that's for sure.
No, one of his different names.
Besides for that? Anybody know?
Body parts.
Body parts. Almost every one of his farim is about body parts. And it's all lefi asod. Birkei Yosef, Yosef's knees. Kesher Gudal, the joint of the thumb. Tov Ayin, Marita Ayin. All sorts of names that have to do with Kaf Achat. All sorts of body parts. Okay, anyway, Bekitzur. So in the Sefer Tov Ayin, Siman Yudchet.
Sorry, Rabbi, what's the significance of having body parts?
Probably al piyasod. We know that according to the Zohar Kadosh, every body part corresponds to another one of the sfirot of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, right? Keter, Chokhmah, Bina, Chesed, Givura, Tiferet, Netzah, Hod, Yesod, Malchut. So it's probably something to do with that. So he writes in the Sefer Tov Ayin, Siman Yudchet, Efshar dema she'osim simcha belag ba'omer. משום שרבי עקיבא התחיל אז לשנות לרבי שמעון בר יוחאי ורבי מאיר ורבי יוסה, ויעול להם שיחזיר עתרת התורה ליושנה, הילכך עושים שמחה. which means since the Talmidim stopped dying on that day, very similar to what the Pri Chadash said, since he started teaching the five new Talmidim, people think, this is another mistake that a lot of people make, that Rabbi Akiva had 24,000 students and 23,995 died and five were left. That's also hashtag
fake news.
Fake news. Rather, fake, I'm sorry. Yes, thank you. Rather,
it says that he went and started with five new students.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's a mistake. All 24,000 died, and then he started again from scratch with five new ones, among them Rabbi Shimon, and that's the celebration. Now, the Stichimid says something else very interesting. The Stichimid, also a very, if you ever read the Sfarim of the Stichimid, it was written by Agon, Rabbeinu Chaim Chizkiyahu Medini. Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Livracha. He was the Av Bedin in which city? Anybody know?
Hebron.
Femeod, in Hebron.
Rabbi Eli Mansur, he has a minhag to go there every year to his yahrzeit.
No kidding. I didn't know that, but I appreciate it. So now, but he says like this, the Stichimid writes, he wrote it in encyclopedic work on the Torah. It's Mamash Lehafli, a tremendous Gaon. We're talking obviously pre-Google. It's like wild. So he writes over there by Lag Ba'omer. He says like this. Ma shenahagu la'asot hilula lerashbi belag ba'omer mipene shenismach biyom ze. כמו שכתב בספר זכר דוד, ושנתגלו סתרי תורה על ידו, ושכן כתבו גאוני טבריה בדורו, ושדחמד says, you know why we make a celebration on Lag Ba'omer? Again, שדחמד also doesn't make any mention of any yahrzeit. Rather, he says what? This was the day that Rabbi Shimon received his smicha, the real smichat chachamim, ish mipi ish ad Moshe Rabbeinu, his real rabbinical ordination. Plus, it's the day, you know, there's a special tefillah that is very popular among the Sfaradim from the Zohar HaKadosh to be said before Shacharit and Mincha. Anybody know which tefillah I'm referring to? No. Patach Eliyahu is an excerpt from the Tikkuni Zohar. And over there, there is a line in
introduction. It's not even the main text.
Right. It's introduction to the Tikkuni Zohar. And over there, it says, "Kum Rabbi Shimon, dit yehiv lach reshu legalaa, madelayit yehiv reshu legalaa leshum barnash." Right, something to that effect, which means it says, "Rabbi Shimon, get up and reveal the secrets of Torah," because Rabbi Shimon was given heavenly permission to reveal the secrets of Torah that no other person in the history of the world until that point was given.
Even I always learned that the Kum Rabbi Shimon stands for, it's Eliyahu HaNavi walked in, so he stood up in front of him.
No, it's possible. Aval mikol makom, at the end of the day, it says beferush that Rabbi Shimon was granted heavenly permission to reveal the secrets of the Torah, and no one else in history until his time was given that permission. And with those secrets of the Torah, look, as the Chochmat HaKabbalah was able to flourish as a result of him being able to reveal these secrets, to write the Zohar HaKadosh, and everything else that we enjoy today from the Chochmat HaSod, from the Chochmat HaNistar, the Zohar HaKadosh, the Kitvei HaAri, all of the other Sfarim that have to do with the secrets of the Torah, that happened when? Lag Ba'omer.
Well, Rabbi, but how does that make sense? He only gathered five Talmidim that day. How he received Smicha on the same day?
It doesn't say that it was on the same day, of the same year. It could have been a different year on the same day of Lag Ba'omer. And that's the tradition. Now, the same thing with the permission to disseminate the hidden part of the Torah. It doesn't necessarily mean that it was the same year that the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva stopped dying, but it was on Lag Ba'omer, and that is reason for celebration. You understand? That's the idea over here.
How old was Rabbi Akiva when his students passed away?
I don't know, but let's put it this way. Rabbi Akiva started learning Torah at 40 years old. Okay? How long did it take him to learn the entire Torah, become Gdol HaDor, and amass 24,000 Talmidim?
24 years.
That's right, 24 years. So that we know, if he started at 40, I don't know if it's exact, but let's assume for a moment that he started at 40. We know he started at 40. and it took him 24 years. So how old was he minimum when
64.
He had the 64. Okay. It doesn't say that he made the Talmidim, he amassed the Talmidim, and you better believe he didn't amass the Talmidim, 24,000 Talmidim in a year. It was a, you know, it was a process throughout the 24 years, these Talmidim started sticking to him. Rabbi Akiva passed away at what age? The Seder HaDorot writes, what age was he murdered?
120,
just like Moshe Rabbeinu. Yeah, so it had to have happened sometime between the age of 64 or 65 and before 120, because obviously he took the new students a few years before his death. So I would assume, if I had to assume, maybe 70, maybe 80, no doubt, not sure exactly. Aval, Mikol Makom, this is what is special about Lag Ba'Omer. And Lag Ba'Omer, you should know, on Lag Ba'Omer, a lot of the songs that we sing, obviously, the star of the show on Lag Ba'Omer is?
Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai.
Is Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. But a lot of the songs that we sing on Lag Ba'Omer revolve around Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. But who else do they revolve around?
Rabbi Akiva.
No, Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva. For instance, you know, the song... Amar Rabbi Akiva, Ashrechem. Amar Rabbi Akiva, Ashrechem Yisrael, Lifnei mi atem mitaharim, Umi mitahar etchem, Avichem shebashamayim. Right? You know that song. Why are we singing about Rabbi Akiva on Lag Ba'Omer? And the answer is very simple. Because Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's claim to fame, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's rise to greatness was as a result of what? He was a Talmid of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was the transfer of the Torah Kedusha. And we spoke about it the other day, and I'll mention it again because not everybody was there, but I want you to hear this. This is huge stuff. Rabbi Akiva is the quintessential antithesis of laziness and chubam factor. Is everybody familiar with the chubam factor?
Yes, Rabbi.
Maze Yosef, what's the chubam factor?
I'm good. It doesn't matter what I do. I'm good. Don't give me any more mitzvot. Don't give me any other things to do. I'm good.
I'm sure you've heard about this factor from me before. Nachon?
Of course.
Yeah. Bevadai. So now, put yourself in Rabbi Akiva's shoes, pre Rabbi Akiva. Akiva, 40-year-old shepherd, Amaaretz. Just banished from his father-in-law's estate, and put yourself in his shoes. He's 40 years old. He's Am Haaretz. I'm sure
son he puts of on. Gir.
Huh? Son of Gerim, Nachon, Rabbi Akiva ben Yosef, who is the son of a Gir. And yet, you know, his wife is trying to convince him to learn Torah and this and that. If Rabbi Akiva was a fan of the Chubam factor, what would his reply have been to Rachel?
Chubam.
You know, I'm good. I got my talit utfilin. I got my minyanim. You know, I have my, I keep my Shabbat. I have my sheep. Zeh, maspik, enough.
He didn't Rabbi, she must have been very beautiful. No? Otherwise, he did it for her, no? Because of her.
Yeah, but it wasn't like a deal. I'm doing it because you're beautiful. He understood. She saw the potential in him. And she helped him to realize his own potential. And a person who's lazy or a person who's chubam would not have taken the step, the monumental step. Can you imagine? And everybody sings about it, and everybody, you know, this is the story you tell all the kids, but it's true. Rabbi Akiva, at the age of 40, in order to start learning Aleph Bet, I don't know if he actually went to preschool or to kindergarten. I don't know. I have no clue. But you know what? You better believe it's pretty embarrassing. There is an element of shame over there. Nachon, Yona? It's not the most pleasant.
Probably, you know, Hashem helped him with all the yeda. He gave a, you know.
Of course he helped him, but he, you know, no pain, no gain. You know, he had to invest himself for 12 years, and then he came back. There's a famous vart, the Gemara in Masechet Ketubot, Daf Samach Bet, writes that after 12 years of learning, Rabbi Akiva came back and he wanted to visit. And Eliyahu Navi took the form of a neighbor and he went into Rachel, his wife. And before he walked into the door, he overheard his wife saying, you know, if you would listen, Eliyahu Navi was saying, you know, your husband, it's not right that he leaves you for so long. What's going on? So what did Rachel said the famous words? What did she say?
I wish you would be there another 12 years.
If you would listen to me, you would go for another 12 years. Rabbi Akiva on the spot, about face, marched back to the yeshiva for 12 years. All of the Mefarshim asked, one second, why couldn't he walk in? Walk in, say hi, sit down, have a cup of coffee, catch up on the past 12 years, what's been going on at home, and then go back to yeshiva. Don't you think?
Yeah. He would have given the opportunity.
What'd you say, Daniel?
He had the high. He didn't want to get rid of that high.
But,
let me tell you what a Gaon of Mordechai Gifter.
He might have given the Yetzer Hara an opportunity to get him to stay, maybe.
Not Yetzer Hara. His wife would have kicked him out. Get out of here. Go back. The same way she kicked him out the first time. Rabotai, listen, Rav Gifter, Alav Shalom, listen to what he says. These were his famous words. He gave a shiur about this in the Telz Yeshiva, where he was a shiva, and he says, this comes to teach us, Rabotai, that with regards to Talmud Torah, with regards to Avodat Hashem, 12 plus 12 is not 24. By mathematics, 12 plus 12 is 24. In Torah, 12 plus 12 is not 24. Only 24 consecutive is 24. Do you understand the lesson that he meant to teach? Do you understand what he's trying to say?
Taruf.
Ratzuf.
Ratzuf. Need,
when it comes to Avodat Hashem, you ever try to learn the Chazon Ish speaks about this a lot. It says, let's say a person sat down to learn in yeshiva for 5 hours. You came to Bet HaKnesset, Bet Midrash, you sat down to learn for 5 hours. You sit down, you learn for 10 minutes, talk to your friend for two, go out for a coffee for five, you come back, learn for another half an hour straight, you come back, you speak for another 2 minutes, go out for a cigarette for another 15 minutes, come back, and at the end of the whole day, you have 5 hours. Says the Chazon Ish, you have nothing. Torato na'asit kra'im kra'im. The Torah becomes ripped into pieces. You want to gain anything? You want to achieve anything in Avodat Hashem? What's the moral of the story, Matt?
No interruptions.
Focus.
Go straight. Go straight. Don't stop. We're not talking about 24 years here, okay? If you have an hour of learning a day, make sure that hour of learning is one pure hour of learning. If you have 2 hours of learning, if you have 5 minutes of learning, make sure those 5 minutes are pure, unadulterated, and uninterrupted. That's the focus of a Ben Torah and Avodat Hashem. That's why we celebrate Rabbi Akiva. And he didn't give up. He started at 40, amassed 24,000 Talmidim. They all died on him, tragically. And we know that. There are minhagim of Avilut because of that. But he didn't stop. The man, Rabbi Akiva, the greatest, the Gdol Ador, went to an average during those 33 or 34 days, an average of 705 funerals of Gdolei Hador each day. Can you fathom that? 705 Levayot a day? 705 funerals of Chacham Ovadia a day? Can you imagine that?
Physically impossible, Rabbi.
And even if it was physically possible, at the end of that 33, 34 day period, what would we look like? What would we feel?
Give up, hopeless.
If we were still alive, we'd be hopeless, right? If we were still alive. Many of us would die from suffering, would die from pain, from depression, don't you think?
It would have been like a suicide.
Rabbi Akiva didn't give up. The very next day, like we're saying here, he went down to the south and he picked himself up. He adopted 5 new Talmidim and he said, let's start fresh. You know the famous saying, the show
must go on.
Rabbi Akiva's variation on that saying is, the Torah must go on. The mitzvot must go on. Yirat Shamayim and Avodat Hashem must go on. There cannot be a lapse. That was the hero that was Rabbi Akiva.
Talmidim were not his Talmidim before? These are new?
No. Brand new Talmidim.
Oh, wow.
Brand new Talmidim. Tov, Rabotai.
Rabbi, with all these opinions, halakha lemaaseh, why are we celebrating?
There is no halakha lemaaseh.
So that means take all of the opinions and celebrate.
That's right. Whatever it is, celebrate. Whether it's the Artzeit or not the Artzeit or Gilui HaSodot or whatever it is, we celebrate. Lag BaOmer is undeniably a day of celebration for Am Yisrael. Now this year, obviously, the celebration is going to look a little bit different with social distancing and stuff. Do not fall prey to, I beg you, not to fall prey to all sorts of temptations of getting together for celebrations. It's not the time, unfortunately.
Their own is going to look very different this year.
Yeah, not yet. It's not the time. Please do not fall prey to such temptations. People are... One second, Rabotai. Please. I beg you. Do not give up. Do not begin treating social distancing laxly. I don't even know if that's a word. Because this is a very crucial time. And if we do that, Hashem Yirachem Yatzin, medical experts said that it could boomerang. Chas v'shalom. Be very, very careful. Keep it up. Every human life, every Jewish life is worth it. Please take that into perspective. It's not a time to let our guard down, at least not yet. When it is, the Gedolim and the doctors will let us know. As of now, it's not. So that's another thing that I wanted to say.
Rabbi, you've been speaking to Cuomo? You've been in contact with Cuomo?
Me?
Yeah.
Why would you like hear from me?
You sound like him, yeah.
Yeah, but we're coming from two different, very different perspectives.
I know.
He's coming from the perspective of being a governor, from a political perspective, and I'm coming from a perspective of the Torah.
The Havdil.
Well, I don't know. I'm trying to speak, you know, to trying to explain to people what the Torah expects of us. Kol ha-matzil nefesh achat mi-Yisrael ki'ilu kiyam olam mali. Right? If you save one soul, one Jewish soul, it's like you saved the entire world. Okay, Rabotai. Ad kan for Lag BaOmer.
Can I ask you one little question?
When we're done. Yonatan, when we're done, Mami? When we're done. Okay.
Come on. I'm going to forget this question.
No. Write it down, Mami. Write it down.
You don't have time.
One second. I have to give another Dvatar now. Yonatan, let's be considerate.
Bye.
Okay. Now, Rabotai, should I stop the recording and do a new one? Yeah, sure. Okay.